all of our lives, in some way, are focused on trying to bring meaning to our existence.
Absolutely. You put your finger on it. And when it comes to selling meaning, the person who is selling meaning best in the world today, or one of the people who is selling meaning best, is Osama bin Laden.
Right.
Whether he's dead or alive, the fact is that right now in Asia, there are DVDs being sold of local beheadings. This is in southern Thailand. They're selling DVDs of local beheadings because the stuff that's going on in London in the last week is pale by comparison with what's going on in Thailand.
Right.
In the last couple of weeks and the last couple of years. So there are DVDs of all the beheadings, all the local beheadings, and they have titles like Jihad in Chechnya 2000. Now, every time our press hears Putin describe what's going on in Chechnya, Dagestan, Azerbaijan, all of the Central Asian former states of the USSR, every time he tries to say that these are part of a jihad, our journalists say that he is making this up, that these are separatist rebellions and they have nothing to do with each other. Well, how come Osama, in his speeches, rattles off the names of about 15 different countries in which the jihad is taking place, and they span the globe? They go all the way from the United States and England over to Thailand and the Philippines and all kinds of parts of Africa whose Islamic names you've never heard before. Why in the world is Osama talking about a world war, and a world war that involves almost every single continent on this planet, when our press says, no, that's not true, Putin is making this up?
Well, let me pick at that for a second, because we have to accept to a degree that Osama is also a good promoter.
Oh, he's brilliant. He
right.
turns out videos that it's been said that his videos make rock videos look absolutely primitive by comparison.
But in that way, it's in his best interest. It's part of his perhaps wishful thinking that he's having that big an impact in every corner of the world. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't, but I mean, at some point, don't we have to see him as a little bit like a McCarthy-esque figure, you know, who holds up a sheet and says, I have here, you know, all this secret information, where it only helps to trump up Osama bin Laden's global image to say that he has that kind of a wide-ranging, you know, effect on world politics and separatist movements.
Well, I think you've done a very accurate thing when you pointed to McCartney because of McCarthy. Sorry, McCartney's not in this. The Beatles are not in this one. But when you pointed to Joseph McCarthy, because McCarthy painted things in an easy black and white. And for people who wanted a simple explanation of things, they're
right.
the bad guys and we're the good guys, McCarthy was it. And Osama is one of many people who are it in the Islamic community, who say there's a simple batch of bad guys and they're the unbelievers.
Right.
And there's a simple bunch of good guys, and that's us, the believers in Islam. But there's an element that McCarthy only had to a very small extent, and Osama has to a very large extent. Osama is able to point straight back to a history that begins in 624 AD, when Muhammad the Prophet was told that jihad, that is, war in the name of the truth,
right,
war in the name of God, and war in the name of justice, was allowed. And ever since then, and he's got the example, Muhammad has, or Osama, has the example of a prophet who is radically different from the prophets that you and I know when we think of Moses and Jesus. We automatically think that a prophet is a man of peace. One of the two leading exponents, the two leading explainers of the Islamic tradition and of the Quran in the last 50 years have been the Ayatollah Khomeini and Osama bin Laden. Those two have had the biggest influence on the Islamic world.
Yeah, when we take that Arabic word, you know, jihad, that
right.
to peaceful Muslims, they prefer to read the interpretation of that in the other way that you can define that word jihad as conflict. And we talk about a war on poverty, or we talk about a, you know, the war on sin, or, you know, and so that sort of thing. And we use that kind of word in that context, and we really mean it as a conflict either within ourselves. You know, our bodies are at war in many ways, sort of spiritually all the time, between good and evil, but also, you know, and we're trying to do something as a greater good. Now, right. Why can't we look at it like that?
Well, we can look at it like that because the people who are fighting us, the people who blow up bombs, the people who are blowing themselves up and taking down 13 people with them, as the 18-year-old did who blew himself up on a double-decker bus last week in London,
right.
These kids are doing it for the greater good. These kids are doing it because they know that there is only one truth, and that anyone who lives under any other system is living under tyranny, under oppression, under falsehood, and is ultimately being driven by leaders like Tony Blair and George Bush Jr., and even by Jefferson and George Washington and Hamilton, is being taken by these misled people down the path to hell. Now, if you saw an entire nation of close to 300 million people, like the nation of the United States, being dragged to hell by its heels, and meantime being narcoticized and blinded to the fact that it's being driven to hell, wouldn't you want to liberate them?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to save them?
Right,
if
that's
there's
the paradigm.
Only one set of laws that offers justice, and Americans are being denied it, wouldn't you want to liberate them so they could have true justice? If they were living under what you felt was tyranny and oppression, the tyranny and oppression of ideas so false that even the word false is not strong enough to describe them, so satanic that it defies belief, wouldn't you want to liberate them? Well, in the eyes of those who are fighting jihad, in the eyes of those who, like the London kids, are claiming to be associated with Al-Qaeda, they call themselves something like one of the brigades of Al-Qaeda, and so did the kids who blew up the trains. And I say kids because a lot of these are people
right.
who are 18 to 22 years old.
Right, the oldest one's 30.
Yeah.
Well, now it seems like a kid to me. But.
Yeah, and you and I are old men by now. But back in Spain, it was the same thing. These people are not blowing up trains in order to blow up 130 people or 200 people or whatever the figure happens to be. They are doing it to save Spain. They are doing it to save Europe. They are doing it to save England. They are doing it to save the population of the United States and to liberate them.
And at the same time, to return to that thought, to bring meaning to their lives.
Absolutely, because if you're fighting in the name of what's good and pure and just, then you are an idealist to the nth degree. You're not fighting on your own behalf. What is it? A suicide bomber? Yes, the suicide bomber is promised 70 virgins. We all know that. And the descriptions of the paradise that he's promised are lush beyond belief. They are just astonishingly gorgeous. But that's not why these people are blowing themselves up. These people are blowing themselves up in their eyes to save you and me.